For those of you who've had your ears open this week and was listening last Sunday as people were talking, we realized that three people from our area were killed in a car accident by Lake Traverse. Tuesday, I went out to the funeral, and as I was there, I was called up to say some words, speak a little bit, not very long. You know, our area has to come to an understanding that we need to stop having senseless deaths. We need to come to an understanding that everyone who dies doesn't go to heaven. And we need to come to an understanding just because God loves us doesn't mean we're okay. We're going to speak to you about something, and I'm not going to speak the same message, but I'm going to speak the same title. I spoke at the pastor's conference a few weeks ago in Brookings. I'm going to talk to you about a lifelong developmental perspective. Now, that word may not mean a thing to you. It just means that you are planning out your life to grow spiritually, to walk with God, not pull up to the hitching post and just relax and crash and say, well, I've accepted Christ, now I'm going to do what I want. Because if you're not in this for eternity, you're not going to make it. If you haven't made up your mind that I'm going to serve God, I'm going to walk with God, I'm going to plan my life around Jesus Christ and living in the Holy Spirit, if you're playing, let's make a deal with God. If you're playing, God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do that for you, and God does something for you, and you back away from your commitment, God holds you to every commitment you make to Him. People don't realize that. People think, well, I can ask God to get me through this situation or get me through this place, and after it's done, I can just do my own thing. Well, God didn't forget. Amen or oh me. Amen. And so in this walk with God, we need to make some determinations. Image is what you want people to see of you, or what they do see. Character is what you really are. A lot of people in churches today are worried about the image. God is concerned about us being people of character and integrity. And I'm being challenged with that whole issue of character and integrity right now in my life, because I have to make a decision, and Ray and I got to talk about it on the way up north. Tonight we're going to be in Net Lake, tomorrow up on the Indian Reserve. But so there's some issues about fishing, and we can do something and do it illegally, or we can do something and not do it at all. And so there's some things that the laws in Canada have changed, and my nephew said, well, you can just tell them this. And I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock. Well, I knew right then I couldn't tell him that, but I woke up this morning and said, I'm not going to compromise integrity to go fishing. And so there's issues in your life that you're going to have to deal with and look at and come to a place where you are going to walk always in integrity, in honesty, in courage. But to have that happen, we need to make up our mind about three issues. And I'm just going to throw them at you this morning. And I started praying about this message Monday or Tuesday. The Lord started dropping things in my heart. I still didn't have it down where I was comfortable with it this morning, but He said it's okay. So if He said it's okay, if it's okay with Him, it should really be okay with you. 2 Peter chapter 3. The first thing, number one, is determine that you're going to continue to spiritually grow. Determine that you are continually going to spiritually grow. That means I'm determining I'm going to read the Word. That means I'm determining I'm going to pray. That means I'm determining I'm going to fellowship and worship and praise and develop and listen for the voice of God. And I'm going to keep on growing. How many of you have already made up your mind you're going to finish strong? How many have made up your mind that you're not going to be sidetracked, detoured, whatever the cost is? I'm not stopping now. I'm moving ahead. If you haven't made that mind up, if you haven't made your spirit up that you're going to finish strong in this race, you're in trouble. I was talking to someone the other day and I said, I'm just proud of where God's taken you. And there's a lot of people sitting here today, along with a lot who's gone, that God has worked in your life, and we're very proud of where you are. Spiritually proud. But you're not there yet. None of us are. If I close my Bible today and quit reading it and quit praying and quit doing the things that God has asked me to do to develop, I would never mature any further than what I am. And if you have closed your Bible and quit looking at it and quit praying and quit doing the things that God has asked you to do, you're spiritually stagnated. Because the most dangerous thing that can happen in our lives is when we come to a conclusion that we've arrived. And your seeker-friendly churches who are just simply bringing people into a relationship and they're finding out that they don't mature are suddenly taking a new look at it, and they realize that they need the Holy Spirit active in the lives of their churches. Paul writes, or Peter writes this in verse 17 of chapter 3. He says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, now listen to this. Beware lest you also fall from your steadfastness. Beware lest you fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Beware lest you fall away from your steadfastness. Peter also writes, if you've once known the Lord and you decide to walk away, it'd been better for you never to have known, because you're doing like a dog going back to his vomit. You had a choice to come to Christ. You have a choice when you want to leave. Yes, he'll still love you, but you can make that choice. God is not looking at the words of your mouth when you ask him into your life. He's looking at your heart. And God knows the length of time you'll serve him. Understand that. God understands the length of time that you're going to devote to him. He also knows what's going to distract you. He also knows what's going to cause you to slip away. And he's working on that right now, even though you don't know it. I was talking to someone earlier this morning and they were saying, I should have listened to that little voice. How many times have we not listened to the voice? How many times have we just gone through the stop sign? Oh, I've learned to stop. I was walking out the church door one day and just like I should have checked the handle. Next morning I come, I couldn't get the key in. All I would have had to do was check the handle and take a little, what is that stuff you squirt in there? WD-40. I don't talk about 40 since I passed it. But all he would have to do was squirt some WD-40 and then would have got the key in. But the next morning, Jerry came and we had to take the whole doorknob apart. And guess who was the doorknob? Don't use that. But we need to pay attention. We need to listen to the Spirit within us. Where am I at? What is happening in my life? Where's my relationship with God? Well, I went to church today, so did the demons. Where did Jesus cast out most of the demons? In the synagogue? Many of them. People get this idea, well, I went to church. Well, so did Satan. So did the demons. You say, how can that be? Some of them are sitting on people's shoulders. Some of them are inside people. How do I know? I've been in services where they erupted. Won't go into it. Maybe I should. I was in a service preaching in northern Minnesota, and there's a couple gals sitting on, a couple people sitting on the front row, and pretty soon one began to growl at me like a dog. Hadn't had my rabies shot. I was scared. I was afeared. But I'm the only one in here that has a right to have fear, because my name is Fearing. So never forget that. But it happens. Don't think that mom and dad are Christians, so I'm automatically a Christian. It doesn't work that way. God has no grandchildren. You say, what do you mean? God has no grandchildren. You're either a child or you're not. But here's what Paul says, or Peter, I'm sorry. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. My prayer is that when I reach 85, whether it's in heaven or here, and of course in heaven they won't care, neither will I, that I'm just as hungry for God as I am today. My prayer is that for this congregation, as you grow, your energy level to grow in Christ exceeds any other desire in your heart. You say, well, I'm just a teenager. I got all these plans. I'm going to tell you something. I stood by the caskets of two teenagers this week. They have no more plans. Teenagers get the idea, I can do whatever I want and I'll never get hurt or I'll never die. That's a myth. It's a lie. It's deception. It's from the pit of hell. Because then you go out and take risks and do stupid things, and some of the teenagers wake up in hell. It's reality. It's not a game. Some adults never learn. Never learn. But we grow in Christ. It's my purpose. It's my perspective. It's my desire. I'm not going to go back. I'm not turning away. I know he loves me. I know he accepts me. The little speed bumps in our lives when things go wrong and things are happening are nothing to the major canyon we're going to fall off if we walk away from God and lose out eternally. I don't know what you're thinking about this morning. I don't know what you're concerned about. But if your number one concern is not about your relationship with God, you're missing it. If the number one effort in my life is not to grow, I'm missing it. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay, ladies, look at me. How many of you are planning some spring house cleaning? Are you Sue? Martha? She's going to let Crystal do it. I told Martha this week, she said she was sick last week. I said, we're not going to let you die. And she said, what do you mean? I said, you die, we're going to resurrect you because we need somebody in that seat right there. She got picked on more than normal. You know, when you do your spring house cleaning, and I don't know if my wife is spring house cleaning or just rearranging for the 1800th time. I went to get my suit jacket out. I got boxes in front of the sliding doors. Someday she's going to put me away and nobody will ever know where I am. She's been working on that for quite a while. I just got enough energy to sneak out of it. But you know, you get rid of a few things. You may go to a rummage sale and pick up a few things to replace the ones you got rid of, because you always got to have so much clutter or you're not happy. You polish off some things you weren't sure what they were. It's kind of the same thing spiritually. The Bible tells us get rid of some things. Get rid of some malice. Get rid of deceit. Get rid of hypocrisy. Get rid of envy. Get rid of all these things. Just kind of spring house clean this morning. And just let them all go. And then pick up a few new things to start replacing them, like the Word of God and the fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to talk about. And all the things that you can bring back. And then you need to polish off a few things, like the gifts of the Spirit that God wants in your life, and your motivational gifts and the things that God's doing in your life. And pretty soon you've done a spring house cleaning. The Holy Spirit has worked through it, and now you're ready for next winter. You see, we have two seasons. We have winter and getting ready for winter. But he says now, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. It kind of tells me something, and you know, I was born at night, but maybe not last night. It kind of tells me that the word of God is going to produce growth in the inner man. The word of God is going to make me grow. And we need that all the time. Getting before God in prayer, spending time with the Lord, getting to know His heart, getting to know His mind. Last night I came for a while and I prayed a while, and then I just picked up a book by Smith, about Smith Wigglesworth, and begin to just pray, God, God, I want this. Doesn't matter what it costs. I want to walk in that anointing and presence and power of God. But I know there's a cost to it. It doesn't just happen by a process of osmosis. It doesn't just seep into you. You begin to seek God. And when your goal is to be more like Jesus and grow like Jesus did, and walk in favor with God and man, and you begin to get in the Word and you begin to pray and you begin to say, God, who can I touch today? Well, they don't want to be touched. It doesn't matter. Who can I touch? I wonder how many needy people I drive by every day that could just use the hand of God to touch them. But sometimes we just got blinders, we don't see. We need to grow. Number two, I need to determine. This is not. I need to determine, to be determined to walk in the Spirit of Almighty God. The Bible said if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many have the flesh attacking you every once in a while? The Bible says if we live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to be the one that develops the character of God within you. If you are determined to have a lifelong developmental perspective, that you're looking at life through different glasses, that you're walking in this world with a different gait and a different step, and you're walking to a different drummer, and you begin to look through the world through the eyes of God, you begin to see things differently. Now look at me. If you're not looking at this world at this moment through the eyes of God, you're a basket case. Who do I listen to, CNN or Fox, or who do I listen to, President or the Republicans or the Democrats? Who got it right? I'm going to tell you, none of them got it right. God's got it right. If you're trying to defend a political position without seeing what God sees, lots of luck. The Bible says this, that within us, there should be love, joy. Boy, you folks look joyful today. I'm scared. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22. Within you, no matter what the circumstances, look at me, no matter what the situation, no matter what the problem, no matter what the crisis, and if there isn't one, we know how to make a bunch up. Somebody should have said amen. Amen. No matter what's going on right now in my mind, in my body, at my job, in situations, the Spirit of God is saying that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. He goes deeper than that. You can't go deeper, but he tells you how to get there. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge godliness, to godliness self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. The bottom line is love. I had the same phone call from a guy three times in a row. Three nights in a row. 3 days in a row. Same issue, same problem, same situation. So finally I looked at him and I said, or I spoke to him and I said, you know, time to get over it. You said something, you did something, get over it. You say, what do you mean? Get over it. If you think, woo, haven't brought that one up for a long time. Too bad we got a school teacher here. She'll say, that preacher needs help. He does. All the help I can get. If you think that some action of yours, as Barb was talking this morning, has caused God to turn his back away from you, you've been deceived, you've been lied to, or you have too much pride and you think your sin is better than everybody else's. What are you laughing about?
What you saying?
Truly? Yeah. we hang on to something we hear that somebody else says or somebody else does or somebody else thinks, and we don't get into it deep enough to understand that there's not a single sin that God can't deal with. The reason he doesn't deal with them is because we don't let him. We have our mind made up. I'm just a champion loser. No, you're not. You're just somebody that hasn't won too often. And God is reaching in to say, come and walk in the Spirit. Not only does he want you to have that, but listen to this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is to profit everybody. To one is given a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge, to another discerning of spirits, to another gifts of healing, to another gifts of faith, to another divers kinds of miracles, to another prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. My walk in the Spirit needs to contain the gifts of the Spirit. Why is the church powerless? Because we're not doing what Paul says, stir up the gift that was within you by the laying on of my hands. You need to dust off a little bit. Get those gifts off the shelf. Take the restraints off the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's within you, you have giftings. We need to come to a place where we start walking out those giftings. It's not in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Chapter 13 wasn't given for Valentine's Day. Chapter 13 was to tell people if you're going to be used by the Holy Spirit, you need to be used by the Holy Spirit in love. And here's what love is. And chapter 14 goes right back into the gifts. Where's the power of God? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that's where? Within us. Within us. Amen? Amen. And so we come to a place where we begin to grow in Christ or continue that growth in Christ. And we start saying, and I'm praying every time I get on my knees before God in this building, I'm praying, Lord, I want to have the fruit of the Spirit in a deeper measure. I want to have the gifts of the Spirit. I want to grow according to 2 Peter chapter 1. I want the power of the Holy Spirit active in my life. This place will be dead if the Holy Spirit's not working in here, friends. It doesn't matter how many people come. It's what do they find when they come? Is God waiting for them? Or are we just going to have music and pastor? The music is okay, but you just don't need pastor. We need the power. Listen, look at me. There's no debate in heaven today. Are the gifts of the Spirit relevant for today? They're relevant always. There's no debate around the throne of God. God, did the Holy Spirit quit working in people's life when Paul died? There's no debate. Paul's up there saying, go for it. Why do you think I got beat up? So I could be an example where God wants to take you. Number three, I'm determined. I'm not going to be distracted by anything in my pursuit for God. But I got my feelings hurt. Huh? I'm not talking to Angie. Tony, she don't have to cry on the way home today. got my feelings hurt. What about nails? What about whips? What about being beaten with rods and stoned? That's what hurts. Does it mean I'm not don't have emotions? No. It means, friends, you don't trust your emotions. You trust the Holy Spirit. Whenever you open your mouth up for God, you have a chance of getting hurt. That's part of the price. The Bible says, all who are godly will what? Suffer persecution. Everyone. Every one of us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12. It goes back to the spring cleaning a little bit. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us and run with endurance a race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. Keep focused. If the Lord tarries, someday somebody else will have your job. Someday somebody else will live in your house. If you don't beat your car too bad, somebody else may be driving it. Some cars can't get beat much better. So all the things that you look at, I better not say the next one. But someone else will probably have everything you have. You can't be focused on that. We focus on all the problems long enough. That hasn't changed anything, so we might as well not focus on them. We've been through almost every situation you can almost go to, so we might as well not focus on that. If you're believing that God is healing you or has healed you, you don't have to focus on the sicknesses. Amen? And you're surely not going to focus on the Vikings. Nope. So here's what we got to focus on. We got Jesus. You're focusing on your kids? Bring Jesus to them. You're focusing on your grandchildren? Bring Jesus to them. Whatever you're focusing on, Jesus needs to be in the center. So we quit whining. And we begin to stand as men and women of God. Laying aside every weight and everything that entangles us. And we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on for the mark of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You can never walk a straight line by looking in your shoulder, over your shoulder. Kevin Suter always says, why do you think we have such a great big windshield and such a little rearview mirror? Huh? Where's your eyes supposed to be? Thank you, Joyce. But you know something? When we allow the past to dictate our future and plan the future for us, we lose. We look ahead, focusing on Christ. Oh, you might have had something go wrong. Who didn't? Gary Johnson preached one of the most amazing messages I've heard. It was stupid, but it was amazing. I'll tell him that. The fact is, I asked him before I got up and preached at the pastor's conference, Pastor Johnson in Rapid City. He preached, did God burn up my pickup? Did God burn up my pickup truck? Very interesting, because he said, I started the old Betsy up and started heading downtown, and I could smell gas. But I knew nothing. That's Gary. I could smell gas all the way down to Rapid City, and all of a sudden I saw smoke coming out of my motor. Supposed to come out the other end. And the pickup was on fire. You smell gas, you better stop.
You better.
But look it. Don't blame the devil for everything. Huh? He's doing enough, but don't blame him for everything. Sometimes it's my stupidity. I didn't say that. You can be transferred. But it is. There are times when you're trying to minister and you're trying to do things, Satan wants to disrupt your family, disrupt your logic, disrupt everything you're going through. But there's other times we just don't pay attention, and I'm a good one to preach this to detail. Amen or amen. And there's other times, as we were talking over coffee this morning, we just need to learn. I need to learn some shut mouth grace. There's times we just don't say nothing. Like when your wife asks you, do I look fat in this dress, honey? What are you going to say, Max? What are you going to say, Dave? Oh, you look glorious. No, dear. Better stop right there. Same thing in the world. There's things we just shut up about. I found something out and I'm closing. First time I said it. I found out I don't always have to be right because I'm not always right. Fact is, once in a while, it'd be fun to be right. But right now, I'm right because God is. God's right. What does it profit if we gain the whole world? If you have everything you want, everything you think you need, and you don't have God, you still lose.